The content shared on Your Life, Your Wealth Network reflects the views of the host and guests of the program only and are not necessarily the views of Cordasco Financial Network or its advisors. This media production is educational in nature and should not be construed as financial, legal, or tax advice or a solicitation or presentation of sale of any financial products or services. Please consult a professional prior to making any financial, tax, or legal decisions. Welcome to the Your Life, Your Wealth Network. Helping you find clarity and comfort for your life and wealth. Now, here's your host, financial advisor, and CEO of Cordasco Financial Network, Steve Cordasco.
And welcome back to the Your Life, Your Wealth Show. I'm Steve Cordasco. Just thrilled that you're joining us in today's program as we broadcast here on 990 WNTP and the Your Life, Your Wealth Network. First, I'm going to start the program with Donald Trump's tax proposal. It's in the news. And, of course, there's some infighting going on in Washington. I've broken down Trump's tax proposal earlier during his presidency. I made a statement that it needs to be one of his first priorities and ended up not being that. Now the media has given the subject more attention over the past week, and I don't think Trump really has an upper leg here. And that's unfortunate because that goes against what I was hoping for. But we'll get into that, talk about why, and talk about his proposal and where it is and what it means to you. An individual that pays taxes, as well as business owners, what it means to you. Also, coming up next on the show, I'll discuss traveling during your retirement. We specialize in helping people transition to retirement. We help people get prepared for retirement, and we also help people who are in retirement. And you know, one of the top priorities, because that's one thing we do, is we kind of measure people from what they're looking for in life, right? So we want them to have their best life. Wealth is part of it, so it comes down to priorities. Most have a priority to travel, whether it's domestic or overseas. We're going to talk about traveling in retirement, and is it in the cards for you? Next on the program, or last on the program, we're going to talk about robots taking over jobs. I have five kids, as you know. This is a topic of conversation I have with them all the time. You know, what's the future hold for us? This goes back to Trump and his tax proposal, because he said in the White House, the Oval Office the other day, his tax cuts will mean jobs, jobs, jobs. And you'll hear me talk about, are they jobs for people or jobs for robots? That brings me to this topic of discussion of, will technology take most of our jobs? But first, let's dive into President Trump's tax proposal, since we're talking about it now. The Democrats are saying are going to benefit the wealthy and corporations. I want to jump into this, and this is where we're going to get political in the show, with regards to where we go with regards to the tax agenda. And it's interesting, because I made a claim early on in the Trump presidency that he's got to take care of taxes first. And the reason is this, because it tends to come down to the economy with regards to the success of elections. And tax cuts, tax breaks, and an overhaul of the tax system with the goal, the overall goal, to help the economy and to create jobs, it takes time. There's a lag effect. So my argument, for many of you that remember, was that Trump has some things that he has promised that he wants to accomplish. One is a wall and immigration. That was high up on his list, and how he was going to deal with that. One was taxes, and what he was going to do with taxes and how it parlayed into the economy. The other was Supreme Court and where he was going with that, meaning, of course, he was up to the mercy of the time limit there, but there was definitely a fight that was brewing on that. And the other was regulation. He wanted to go after much of the regulation that was put in place that he thought needed to be broken down. And finally, we had Obamacare. So you had all these parts, with us saying first is to get the right Supreme Court justice, right? And deal with the fight there. Go in hard and get the person you want. Next, I was on board with saying the next priority's got to be taxes and the economy. The reason is it takes time for that stuff to work its way into the system and for it to then work its way to create jobs and help the economy. Trump decided to take on immigration, then he went into health care, sort of failed at both in a fair way. Then we got to a point of the budget had to be dealt with, and expenditures, government funding. Hence, he found himself in a position that was very difficult to get what he wanted. His ratings were going down in the polls. He had more and more Republicans fearful of taking the marginal issues and siding with Trump because of just Trump alone. They felt as if the marginal issues are the marginal issues, and I got to maybe separate from the president on what his agenda might be. Hence, he's in a position where he's got to fight for some votes to get what he really wants. For me, I thought tax cuts, and I still think that way, and the economy should be the major priority. These other things can come in time. Healthcare is a very tough situation to deal with. It's almost a no-win, I believe. That it's a no-win. So let the current system buckle because it belongs to someone else. But it didn't happen that way. So now, here we are, late in the cycle. We get to taxes. And what you have is, you have a lot of back and forth and pointing of what tax cuts are and who they benefit. You have Nancy Pelosi now with Chuck Schumer on the Democrat side saying we're putting up a huge fight because we can't trust the president. We gave him some leeway on debt limits and government funding and worked our way there, and he came back and slipped in some things that shouldn't have been there. Now, of course, that's their side. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to lay it out to you and what this means to many of you, because many of you who listen to the show are fiscal conservatives and deficit hawks. And the reason why I bring up deficits and fiscal conservatism is because the argument from the Democrats is that you can't have tax cuts without cutting somewhere. So what happens is if you have less revenue coming in, but you don't have cuts, because that's what the Democrats say, we're not giving up any cuts. You're not cutting social programs. That increases the deficit. So my question to you, are you more for tax cuts to grow the economy? Do you believe tax cuts and growing the economy is good for all, and hence we can grow our way out of the deficit? Because that's one way to do it. You can grow your way out of deficits. The other way is inflate out of deficits. Inflation brings in more tax revenue, and you pay down deficits if we're able to do that in this country. Where do you stand on tax cuts? That's a question. The more, and this is how it plays out, the more we give tax breaks to the wealthy, and again, they're saying this is for the wealthy, we go down the road of sound bites and this political weapon that gets used for whoever seems to get the last word. And the way the media is set up today, everything to go against Trump's going to go against him. And believe me, people who are on the margin do believe and can be coaxed into thinking that giving tax cuts truly will go to the wealthy. So here's where we are right now. Nothing much has changed since the last time we did a show on taxes. So let me kind of sum it up of what this might mean to you. Let's start with personal taxes. Bottom line, we got a bottom individual tax rate of 12%. That's now 10%. So it's going to go up a bit. You're going to hear a lot of screaming about that, but that's at the bottom half. The middle class is going to get a tax bracket of 25%. Many in that middle space are going to say, hey, I'll take that all day long. So technically, it does come out to be a tax break for the middle class. Incomes in that aren't specified, but if you got the bottom at 12 and then the next one is at 25, you can sort of figure it out by default. The top individual tax rate of 35%. The current rate now is 39.6%. So yeah, the top rate will take a cut. There's larger deductions. There's elimination of a lot of itemized deductions. There's going to be a repeal of alternative minimum tax, increase of the size of the child tax credit. So if you have a child, you're going to get more back in a tax credit, and elimination of estate tax. But we need to kind of look at this thing because not much has changed. And this thing, as we go through this argument of tax cuts, much of this will look to change. But here's where we want to go with this. The argument is, do tax cuts, what do they really do for us? Do tax cuts increase the deficit, or do tax cuts create jobs? Because last Tuesday, Trump in the White and the Oval Office said jobs, jobs, jobs. That's what his tax cuts are going to do, create jobs. It's hard to connect those dots in sound bites. How do they create jobs? They create jobs by growing the economy. So therefore, if people have more money in their pocket because it's not going to Uncle Sam through taxes, they're going to do something with it. What do most people do? They go out and spend it. So that works its way into the economy. And when people spend it, it's got a higher likelihood of creating jobs. That's Trump's argument. And that's been the argument of the past. That's what Reagan's tax cuts did. That's what JFK's tax cuts did. They grew the economy. Now, I'm going to throw a twist into it. Unfortunately, the economy we have today, it's harder to create a job in a good economy because we have robots and machines that can take the place of that. So we're going to have to get into a better place of how we're defining a tax cut. Which brings me to the corporate side, because this is where many of the Democrats are arguing that this is going to the rich and the big corporations and the businesses. Here's the business tax change, and this is huge because really small business is the lifeline in this country. Do you know more people work for small business than they do for big corporations? It's hard to believe because you hear about all the jobs that just locally, Lockheed, for example, in our area, or Comcast has in the area. You know, they tend to get big tax breaks. Amazon wants to come here and get a big tax break because they bring jobs. But you know who's bigger in creating jobs than Amazon? The small businesses in around our region and our country. So here's the business tax changes. 20% corporate tax rate. That's down from the current 35%. A 25% pass-through rate for businesses. Like, my business is a pass-through. I can tell you a 25% rate. What am I going to do with those dollars? Hire more people. It's the biggest line item expense I have, and I'd love to have more of them. And a one-time repatriation tax. That's because Apple and all these companies have so much money overseas. They bring that back. They put the money back here. We get a tax. Well, bottom line, here's what happens. I can't guarantee you that a company like mine is going to go out and hire new people with a tax break. So my question to you, should there be an incentive to get the tax break that you will create a job? I have nothing, I see that to be perfectly fine. Drop my rate to 25%. That's the rate I get, but I have to accomplish a certain number. I have to have 15% more employees. You hire two poor, whatever the math turns out to be. Therefore, now I'm not going out and using some piece of software automation that would replace an employee. That's where we are within this economy. This is the economy that's different than Reagan's economy and JFK's economy. So look, at the end of the day, I'm going to tell you where I stand. Tax cuts, I think, are good for all. The argument that some say, hey, tax breaks go to pay for just the rich and they save the money. It doesn't. Money ends up being spent at some point in time. There's no doubt about it. It's going to be spent, or else the government's going to take it from you. Either spend it now or it gets spent later. So what's your take? Do you believe tax cuts will benefit the economy and create jobs? Do you think there needs to be some tie-in to it? And some of you are against this. Because it's not so free, right? You're just saying, hey, that's not a free economy. By telling somebody they're going to get something if they implement something, that's the government saying it. But do we need some of that because of this economy that we're in now, which is an automated economy? Tell me what you think. Ask Steve at CFNplan.com. That's AskSteve@CFNplan.com. Does lowering taxes rise the tide and lift all boats? Is it good for just a few? And do you believe that there should be some type of overlay? If there's a tax cut and the goal is to create jobs, make sure jobs are created, or that tax break for that individual company or that particular person doesn't get had. Share with me your thoughts. AskSteve@CFNplan.com. Hey, we'll be back. We're going to talk more about your life and your wealth here on the Your Life, Your Wealth Show. I'm Steve Cordasco.
Hey, Rich Lilly here. My friend Steve Cordasco, financial advisor and founder of Cordasco Financial Network, is back with a new retirement guide called Your Plan to a Successful Retirement. This guide is packed with helpful tips like how to make a retirement plan work for you, how to successfully generate cash flow in retirement, and how to utilize great tax saving strategies. This guide also uncovers the best practices to reduce stock market stress, how to find investment solutions that match your risk tolerance, and how to bring comfort and clarity to your retirement. Whether you are taking the first steps to retirement planning and don't know where to start, are in pre-retirement and looking to accumulate wealth, or already retired and looking to preserve your wealth, you should get a copy of Steve Cordasco's guide, Your Plan to a Successful Retirement, and it's totally free. Get your copy right now at cfnplan.com. That's CFN, N as in network, plan.com. Go right now to cfnplan.com.
And welcome back to the Your Life, Your Wealth program. And boy, what a program we've had. You heard me talk a little bit about Trump and being in the Oval Office. President Trump saying these tax cuts will help the economy. And he didn't even mention the word economy. He just said jobs, 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 because research shows that people want jobs. And what's going on in our country is that people are worried about the health of the job market. Many are arguing that there are not really good jobs out there, or the good jobs that are there are few and far between. I say we're at a crossroads in our country in that the economy can get good, the economy can do well, but it may not necessarily create jobs. So my big question is, what does President Trump mean by jobs, jobs, jobs? Because he did not say the economy equals jobs, jobs, jobs. I think there's something underlying there. And I think he might start to bring some attention to the fact that here we are in our country at a crossroads where robots, computers, and software are taking jobs and displacing some long-ended, historically good jobs that created a middle class. So where does this bring us? Why are we talking about this? Frankly, because I saw a fascinating article that I'd love to share with you. And it has to do with technology and how humans are involved working within a job where they need to trust technology. Maybe you saw this last week. I caught the news from reading an article in the Philadelphia Inquirer about an 18-wheeler that drove down several miles down the Atlantic City boardwalk, a pedestrian-only boardwalk. No cars allowed. Specifically, no tractor trailers allowed. I don't even know how you get a tractor trailer on the Atlantic City boardwalk. The driver was following instructions on his onboard navigation system. You know, your car GPS? Oh, that's what this guy had, which had the boardwalk as a designated street. After passing several stunned onlookers, I'm reading now from the Inquirer, the driver found himself stranded. His tractor trailer, are ready for this, eventually had to be dismantled and a berm had to be built to get it off the boardwalk. Yeah, they couldn't back the thing back down. It's stuck on the boardwalk. In this case, there were no damages other than confusion. It's just an amazing story. But it also is a great analogy in the dangers of trusting too much in technology and why human judgment is so important even in this highly digitalized world, this world in which technology, at least many of us think, will be taking many jobs. Why do I find this story so fascinating? Not because so much that this is a story. By the way, this isn't the first time that this has happened. This is the second time this has happened in which somebody driving followed their GPS that took them down the boardwalk. So we got a problem on our hands. But I find it fascinating because I have five kids. And my job as a dad, one of the jobs, is to guide them as I educate them. And we talk all the time about what the future might look like because they talk all the time about what type of career path they might be in. And it's fascinating because I'm always seem to be gravitating to this topic because it's a topic that I have with the kids a lot. And I recently, not long ago, sent my kids an article because I told them, I said, you got to be, take some type of coding, get into some technology, understand robotics, be in robotics club. You know, I talk like a broken record that I wanted to at least touch this stuff and to try to get their attention. You know, three of the boys, I try to, you know, send things that gravitate to them. For the two girls, I try to send stuff that fits within the stuff that they like. Well, there was a recent article at a post that I found where some bright minds, Bill Gates, Mark Cuban, one of the Google guys, founder of Apple, all weighed in on whether jobs or whether technology was going to take over jobs and what people should do to educate themselves, right? So Bill Gates writes, you know, you got to have at least some coding and understand technology, right? And it goes along this grain that I've often said on the radio, make sure our kids are specializing in something. They learn something, engineering, medicine, you know, the STEMs, the sciences, science, technology, medicine, education, educating people. So that's kind of where I kind of gravitated to. But Mark Cuban sort of sent this piece in a total different direction, where he comes out and says, in college, forget about that stuff. If you're going to go into engineering, there's a high likelihood that as an engineer, your job's going to get replaced by a robot. If you're an architect, there's a good chance it's going to be replaced by a robot. If you're in medicine, you got a good chance going to be replaced by a robot. So he gives this case, and I don't want to get into that case, but it was an interesting case. What was his take on what somebody should major in? Philosophy, psychology, history. Bottom line, be a liberal arts major. And then take a coding class, take philosophy, take the liberal arts type of approach. That goes such against the grain of what we've heard in the past, where you have to specialize in something, learn it, because that's where the money's going to be made. His point there, and by the way, if you don't know who Mark Cuban is, Mark Cuban's a billionaire that he's on Shark Tank, but he's also owner of the Dallas Mavericks, which is a basketball team, for those of you that don't know. I like him. He's not a likable guy. You know, he was the guy that during the debates was there in the front row antagonizing Trump. You know, he's sort of these one of these guys that you look at as kind of a he's snotty rich one. You know, you just want to hit him sometimes, but it's something likable about him. And what I tend to take a gravitation to is he would post a lot of times the conversations he would have with his daughter. And I found it fascinating about, you know, the human side of him. So when he started to humanize himself, especially on Shark Tank, I took a liking to him. We'll leave his politics aside. So here's his thinking behind that, is that you got to be able to adapt. The world's changing quickly. And by being broader and learning in these different ways, it makes you adaptable to a changing world. To me, I thought, when I first thought what was the question, I thought maybe it makes people more interesting, more well-rounded. And he says, adaptable, because you can go in and learn just one thing, but in the end, you need to be a person and a well-rounded person to be able to adapt, which is interesting to me because my son, my oldest son, Stephen, gave me a pretty good debate when I sent out the piece this past summer that Mark Cuban was quoted in. And he said, Dad, listen, you know, I hear you saying that robots and technology are going to, you know, take over this thing and blah, 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 blah. Because he wants to study medicine. He wants to get into medicine. He goes, I have a different take. Number one, he says, look, technology doesn't question assumptions. So they can code it to try to do that, but you're going to need a human involved. At the end of the day, there's a human there. Also, technology can't make judgments. A judgment call, because I used the airplane. And I said, you know, in an airplane, there used to be three people that had to pilot that plane. Now there's one. And as my son said, Dad, so there's one. But guess what? You still need the same amount in there, because even though nobody is actually flying that plane, the controls are now, you still need a human in case there's something that goes wrong with that. You need another human in case something goes wrong with that human. And now for safety purposes, a robot isn't going to stop a terrorist. So you need a third one in there. So I guess me as the dad are kind of just listening intently because I got to formulate an argument here at some point. He said, here, another reason is that technology doesn't adapt to the unpredictable, which is what his case was with the air traffic. I mean, with the airlines, the pilots. So I thought it was interesting where he had gone with that. And I said, okay, well, the pilots still had a specialty to learn how to fly. And he said, true. So some of these specialty areas will be there. He said, but we can't say that they're taking over everything. Which I thought was interesting. And he said, when it comes down to making assessment and judgments and things like that, he says, you talk about your industry and how a lot of people can use computers to do this. How some people are at work and they're doing their own retirement planning through software that they have in their 401k plan. He said, it's the same thing. People still need people. And he's right. I think he's very right on it. And to bring it back, how does this apply to you, your life, and your wealth? Well, it's for us, when we work with clients here at Cardasco Financial Network, we have to earn our fees and what people pay us using our expertise and our experience to help them do what computers can't, like question assumptions. We have to use human judgment and adapt to unexpected surprises. Make the right changes in a changing world. And that's what my son said. He said, Dad, if anything, technology is making the world change even faster. So humans that can adapt to that are the ones that are going to do well. That's the story that needs to get out there. You guys haven't packaged it correctly in telling us, the kids, how we do that. So what we try to do here at my company, Cardasco Financial Network, is reinforce this in our planning process by analyzing a lot of what-if scenarios. We have something called the Your Life, Your Wealth Canvas. We used to call it our retirement sensitivity. It's a lot of things that most people probably don't consider. What if the stock market doesn't do well? What if someone gets sick? What if you live far longer than what a plan suggests? We test assumptions. Most companies will give you a 50, 60-page plan. We do that. But you know what you get? A one-pager. A one-pager that's called the Your Life, Your Wealth Canvas that questions the assumptions, that challenges them, looks for things that are easy for you to control, less easy for you to control, very difficult for you to control, and create those what-if scenarios. So for the many people who think they can save money online or using an online system, technology, online investment, that's fine along the way. But when it gets into a serious situation, like a change of life event, like maybe a transition to retirement or major life shift, remember, it's all about the life. It's not just the wealth. This is where perils can happen. Bad things can happen in decision making, where you need somebody. Just like that driver that blindly trusted his software, ignored what he was seeing on the road and could go 3 miles down the boardwalk. What the? I mean, honestly, are you kidding me? To be good, for the technology to be good, you need somebody there to make sure it's doing good. And I got to tell you, that's a unique that we do here at Cardasco Financial Network. We just don't let the technology say what it's going to be. We test it and push it. For example, blind spots. Everybody has a blind spot. You're driving a tractor trailer, you have a blind spot. A good advisor will know where blind spots are for people at stages of their lives where they might not be able to make the right decisions. Testing assumptions. A good advisor will constantly test assumptions, but put it to you in a way that you understand it. You see the clarity to it. They can educate you on what the assumptions mean. And here's what's important. A good advisor, somebody who is good at helping you with your wealth, understands your life, but they need to know your money mind, how you think about money, how the person closest to you thinks about money. Because that's where priorities are set, and that's where you can find, when you understand somebody's money mind, where some of the blind spots the money might be. So to help guide, right? This is about guidance. That technology was supposed to guide that tractor trailer. But sometimes guidance takes more than just one piece, like technology. You need a human element in there. And to guide it all right, there needs to be ways to understand what it is you're guiding and who it is you're guiding. So technology can help us understand your money mind, and we use that technology here. And it's fun technology. Key, knowing the limitations of technology as well. A good advisor will know that. You combine all this stuff, and you'll have a good life and good wealth. I thought it was a great story, cute story. Nobody got hurt. Hopefully, you're navigating your life and your wealth the right way with the right people. If you are, there's a good chance you won't be hurt. Hey, I'm Steve Cordasco. It's a Your Life, Your Wealth show. Thanks for listening. Stay tuned. I'm going to come back. I'll sum things up quickly for you. And then I hope you have a great weekend. Hey, love to hear what you think about what we had to say today, especially this story. Right, ask Steve at cfnplan.com. That's ask Steve at cfnplan.com. Tell me what you think. Are robots going to take over? Do we have a very interesting future ahead of us for our next generation coming up? Ask Steve at cfnplan.com.
Hi, Hugh Hewitt here. Do you have a sound retirement strategy? Have you taken the time to sit down and write a plan for achieving your retirement dream? Sadly, most of us spend more time planning our vacations than our own financial future. I'm here to tell the Delaware Valley a name that most people probably already know. Steve Cordasco. You've been listening to Steve for the last 25 years. You've been reading his articles in the Philadelphia Business Journal, Forbes, TheStreet.com. Steve Cordasco and his team have just come out with a new guide for retirement planning called Your Plan to a Successful Retirement. Get your copy right now at cfnplan.com. That's cfnplan.com. The guide is packed with helpful tips like how to make a retirement plan work for you, generating cash flow in retirement, tax saving strategies, ways to reduce stock market stress, investment solutions that match your risk, how to bring comfort and clarity to your retirement, much, much more. And now for my Hugh Hewitt listeners, I strongly recommend you get a copy of Steve Cordasco's guide, Your Plan to a Successful Retirement. Get your copy now at cfnplan.com. That's CFN, N as in network, plan.com. Go now to cfnplan.com.
And welcome back to the Your Life, Your Wealth show. I'm Steve Cordasco. A fun story coming up for you because I think it really ties to many of you who listen to the program. And that has to do with travel and going abroad. And not just abroad. We've done shows where people want to retire abroad. But we're talking about, as folks enter into retirement, what they want to do with their time. And what I found in almost 30 years of helping people transition to retirement, pre-plan for retirement, you know, those 5 or 6 years prior to retirement, and then life in retirement, people have what they want to do, priorities. Now, what we do here is we don't just go and say, hey, so you're going to retire, tell us what you want to do. What makes us unique at Cordasco Financial Network is we try to uncover what people really want. Because a lot of times people don't know what they want. So in the end, we kind of try to get to the root of it. And I got to tell you, in trying to uncover where people want to go in their living their best life and how they want to get there, we map out that roadmap. And I got to tell you, for most of the planning and people that I talk to, guess what a top priority is? In transitioning to retirement and what people want to do in retirement. It's not the top priority. That would be spending time with family. specifically the grandkids. People like to have that extra time. Retirees like to be able to spend that time in that area. But you know which is a close second? Vacationing, traveling. And AARP, I know I said it, I had to, because they did the survey. AARP survey found that 65% of seniors prefer traveling with a spouse or a significant other. Many baby boomers are hoping to do more traveling as they enter their retirement years. This came out as part of the study. After decades of cramming travel into long weekends, limited vacations because you're raising the family, you got to get back to work, you only have so much vacation time, new retirees have this pent-up desire to visit new places. How about you? Do you feel you're in that space? Would like to hear from you. Ask Steve at cfnplan.com. That's ask Steve at cfnplan.com. So how do retirees plan about going onto vacation? How do baby boomers list the way they plan for a vacation? What do you think it is? How about this? They create a bucket list. And in that bucket list, they put where they want to travel to. But there's something going on in the world when it comes to planning for vacation and the cost of vacation. Many new retirees who just transitioned into retirement tend to go all out because they're so excited. Hey, what happens here at Credasco Financial Network when we talk about putting plans together and helping people and guiding them, we look at where priorities are and we talk to both the significant other spouse that's in that person's life. And you know where we get priorities that align most of the time? Travel. So when you get that alignment, you get this euphoria. We agree on something. And then they splurge because they're so excited to take that big vacation. And that can set people back because they come back and they never realize they budgeted for all of this. So bucket lists are good because you get to map out what you want to do. We have clients that take 1 year, they'll do domestic travel. Another year, they'll do foreign travel. Mapping out that travel plan is good because then you can enter into what your lifestyle expenses are. Many of you have heard Leah Mealy, my producer and our director of communications here at Credasco Financial Network, and she brought the story to me. And she said, Steve, you know, we need to start talking about travel a little bit more. She just got back from a fantastic vacation. I'm going to bring her on and let her tell you about that. But she said in her travels to this exotic place that she went, she said there were a lot of baby boomers and retirees. So, Leah, welcome to back on the program.
Hi, Steve. Great to be here.
Good to have you. So you and your now fiance, because you got engaged while you were away. Congratulations.
Yes, I did. Thank you.
Gotham posed the question to you under the Northern Lights.
Yep.
So you took this fabulous vacation, which has been on your wish list.
Yep, on my own bucket list, yeah, to go to Iceland to see the Northern Lights.
And you had just a fabulous time.
Yep.
Tell us about it, meaning not so much, you know, the one knee and the engagement. Congratulations on that. It's an exciting time and in your guys' world, and it's beautiful. But you came back saying, hey, we got to cover this because you were looking around and assessing. And I'm like, you know, who goes to Iceland? Sounds cool. I would love to go. And you kind of gave me a demographic picture of who was traveling there. So share that.
Yeah. So I actually wore, during my travels, it was pretty cold there in Iceland. I wore a Pittsburgh Steelers hat. So I know you don't like the Steelers, but I had a lot of tourists come up to me and say, oh, Pittsburgh, I'm from PA, I'm from the area. And a lot of them were baby boomers. Mm-hmm. Pretty much, maybe I had six tourists talk to me just because of the hat. And they all were baby boomers. And I was surprised because I personally was very tired on the hikes.
Right.
So it was pretty cool to see these very active baby boomers doing these very intense hikes, walks, sightseeing outside in this like really scenic area. So.
Yep. And so what's important to note, if we bring this back, and I appreciate you sharing that with us, when we bring this to, you know, people traveling. So, you know, I knew for you, because I worked very closely with you, you know, trying to budget for this and what the cost was going to be. But what happens is I want to get to the motivation of what got you there, right? Mm-hmm. And I want you to be real honest about it. So Iceland is getting popular because of there's people are witnessing places like that through television mm-hmm. or marketing, and there's something that kind of grabbed you inside. I don't know, maybe it's when you were just a little girl, but I doubt it. I think there was something recently, because I know the programs that you and Gotham like to watch. What was the big pull to want to go to Iceland?
So, a lot of popular TV shows are filmed in Iceland.
All right, come on. Call it. It's a popular TV show amongst our listeners. Go ahead.
Yep, Game of Thrones.
Okay, so Game of Thrones kind of got your juices flowing.
Yeah, they do have Game of Thrones tours there, too.
Okay, so Game of Thrones is set in Iceland.
Some of the scenes are,
Some of the scenes. Mm-hmm. And so that created this romance to want to see Iceland. And to be, because you don't travel much, right? So you come from, you know, you're kind of a humble person, and you're smart with your money, and you don't splurge. And so for you to do was a big splurge. Mm-hmm. And so it was exciting. And for you to do that, there was this big motivational pull to want to go there. Mm-hmm. It was big for you. This is probably one of the biggest trips you've ever taken in your lifetime. Mm-hmm. But the trigger to do it, because you didn't really know you were going to get engaged when the whole process started, was that this television show made you really want to see it. And what happens as people, this happens to people, people who want to travel, and this is where I'm saying for baby boomers, they have to be careful of this mm-hmm. because there's either friends that have taken a riverboat in Europe and they want to do what they did, or take an exotic trip to Africa, or whatever it might be that is giving them the motivation to want to do it. It's got to be in the finances. Mm-hmm. And what happened is sometimes that gets lost. When you were there, when you budgeted going in, did you mm-hmm. find that when you finally got there that, oh my gosh, because I talked to somebody who went to Iceland recently, meaning me, I have a doctor of mine who went there, and she came back and says, yeah, it was fabulous. We had a great time, but oh my gosh, we spent 25% more than what we thought because we didn't realize it was so expensive to eat mm-hmm. or whatever it was. So did you feel you stayed within the budget, or was the budget sort of blown because all of a sudden you're in this place that you just didn't account for the unforeseen?
Yeah, so pretty much my fiancé mapped out all the finances before the trip, and we
That would be him. He's a CFO, right?
So we did stay within what we thought we would spend. We weren't caught off guard. We talked to people who traveled to Iceland before, realized that the countryside is a lot more affordable and there's better things to see there. Even talking to people there, they said the best things in Iceland are free. So mm-hmm. The main attractions that we went to were, we didn't have to pay for them.
Excellent. So you had good guidance mm-hmm. there, and you went in with a budget. So if I have to take a look at your situation, I took a look at the other situation. The other situation is very different because that person did not have somebody mm-hmm. who was budget oriented or, you know, had finances. You know, it was sort of a girl's trip, mm-hmm. and you know, she kind of went in as more the vacation, and then all of a sudden there was this surprise moment, and that happens a lot. So as people put their bucket list together, that's a good way to go because it helps you know where you want to go mm-hmm. years in advance and that it can be budgeted for. But it's that, hey, we want to travel for baby boomers, and then on a whim they say, hey, let me go do that, and they like doing it so much that it kind of breaks the budget, and it can be a stress point. So it's important to note that. And we've seen, for baby boomers who want to travel, I've seen all kinds of things over almost 30 years. I had one particular folks that I was close to that just wanted every year to take the family on a trip. I said, look, it's getting expensive, and if we keep doing this each year, and it was to Disney every year. So, and God love her, she is now deceased, and one of my very first clients, I'll call her Pauline. I'll leave her last name out of it because mm-hmm. her family still does business with us. Her children who she had left behind, you know, she lived well into her 80s and lived a wonderful life. She was a kid at heart and loved Disney and just wanted to bring all of her kids always back to Disney, and it always seemed there was always a new grandchild that was at the right age, or the ages were adjusting to do other parks, and so she just kept this thing going. And we adjusted, and, you know, I had to guide the right way, and sometimes a guidance is you don't want to break somebody's heart where you say, hey, the finances don't work. But knowing the other members of the family, sometimes you can get them involved. And then everybody started to chip in to keep the tradition going. But it takes planning is what I'm trying to say. So travel is one of the big, big to-dos in retirement. So if you're not in retirement yet, you might want to think about it and think about what happens when you get to that point. Because if that is within your cards, I'm going to tell you, you have a high probability, because it seems like most that I help navigate into their retired years, it is a top priority. People want to do this. Some want to do it more exotic. Some like to do it domestically. Some like to do it by car. Some like to do it by plane. Everybody's got their own way of doing it. I just had some friends, their clients. I call them friends. I call all of our clients. We're in an intimate relationship with our clients who just got back from a riverboat travel through Europe. And it was wonderful. They loved it. They met friends. But it's something they want to do more of. For us as those that handle people's wealth, what's most important to us here at Credesco Financial Network, it's not just about the wealth, it's about the life too. And you got to have that balance. And in looking at somebody's life and for them to live their best life, to travel, if that's a big important part, that's great. We just budget for it. Leah, you're lucky. You guys went in with a plan and, you know, you came out with a trip of a lifetime. And while you were there, you were sending me wonderful pictures. It was just beautiful what you were sending. It was great because I was surprised to get a phone call from you last Friday, just checking in. You were able to make easy phone calls. And then you even came back with a ring on your finger. So hopefully, can you post some pictures on your Facebook page?
Of course, on our Facebook page,
and we can share Iceland and all that beautiful stuff that you did there with the folks who follow us on the Your Life, Your Wealth show. So,
of course,
when you think about your trip, there was money involved, but it was also about your life, right? And so it's a big part of your life, and it'll be in your life forever. So it was an investment. So you came back with just more than just pictures, right? Mm-hmm. You came back with a husband-to-be. Good times coming for you. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, tell me what you think of travel in your retired years. Would you go to Iceland? Would you be that venturous? Tell me about where you want to go if you do think travel is in your blood when it comes to retirement, or if you're in retirement. Share with us some of the wonderful places you may have gone. And if you want to talk about how you've been able to do things on a budget and get through most of your bucket list, tell us. Love to hear from you. Ask Steve at cfnplan.com. That's ask Steve at cfnplan.com. And remember, it just comes down to planning. Because if you want your best life to be a life of travel and getting through things on your bucket list, no problem. If you have the wealth, you got to tie the two together. And sometimes you don't need a whole lot of wealth to still achieve what's on your bucket list when it comes to travel. Hey, Leah, thanks so much for sharing your story. Ladies and gentlemen, yep, thank you. And look for Leah's pictures on our Facebook page, which is Facebook. Go ahead, Leah, why don't you give it? Because I botched this thing so many times.
It's facebook.com/CFNplan. You'll be able to find us there.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Make it a, you know, I have to come back. I'll be back in
just a moment
with more for you on the Your Life, Your Wealth Network. Don't forget, we're broadcasting on 990 WNTP.
Hi, Hugh Hewitt here. Do you have a sound retirement strategy? Have you taken the time to sit down and write a plan for achieving your retirement dream? Sadly, most of us spend more time planning our vacations than our own financial future. I'm here to tell the Delaware Valley a name that most people probably already know. Steve Cordasco. You've been listening to Steve for the last 25 years. You've been reading his articles in the Philadelphia Business Journal, Forbes, TheStreet.com. Steve Cordasco and his team have just come out with a new guide for retirement planning called Your Plan to a Successful Retirement. Get your copy right now at cfnplan.com. That's cfnplan.com. The guide is packed with helpful tips like how to make a retirement plan work for you, generating cash flow in retirement, tax saving strategies, ways to reduce stock market stress, investment solutions that match your risk, how to bring comfort and clarity to your retirement, much, much more. And now for my Hugh Hewitt listeners, I strongly recommend you get a copy of Steve Cordasco's guide, Your Plan to a Successful Retirement. Get your copy now at cfnplan.com. That's CFN, N as in network, plan.com. Go now to cfnplan.com.
And welcome back to the Your Life, Your Wealth show. Thank you. Thank you so much for being part of the program. And thank all of you who have been participating by sending me emails. Ask Steve at CFNplan.com. Everything from, you know, questions where you might need help with your own personal finance, your life and your wealth, where the two combine. Just weighing in on the show. A handful of you actually said, here's some topics to talk about that of our interest to you. So we're open for that. And as Leah has mentioned before, we'll be going to the mailbag now that we have an active email address. What we didn't know is that the email address we were giving out before was not coming into us. It was getting caught up in this heavy defense mechanism that we have around our firm. And we now have an easier way for you to get to us and not be filtered out. And that is ask Steve at CFNplan.com. So if an email you sent over the past year has fallen on deaf ears, I apologize, because we put some extra security features into our system. And for most people that were emailing us, it did not allow you to come through the filter system. And hence, we've come up with a better way to do that. And the better way to do it is ask Steve at CFNplan.com. Hey, don't forget also, we broadcast each and every Saturday, 10 to 11 a.m. on 990 WNTP. Tell us about that. Tell us whether or not you enjoy the show on 990 WNTP. And let me know whether you go to our other site, which is yourlifeyourwealth.com, to see some of the other programs that we've done. We're up to almost 80 shows now or something like that. So we've done a fair amount. 80th show. So here it is. This is the 80th program of the Your Life, Your Wealth show. And don't forget, the website for Cardasco Financial Network is cfnplan.com. That's why your email will come to me, ask Steve at cfnplan.com. Great, great program today. I was so happy Leah was able to come back from her trip safely and share what she experienced and the type of folks that were there visiting what I call an exotic place like Iceland. And for her to be, you know, hiking up and down the hills with a lot of folks that were in their retired years, living a very vibrant, fulfilled lifestyle. And it brought me to the topic of wanting to talk about why a lot of people have travel down as one of their big to-dos. It's one of the big line items when we're doing planning, because it's an expense item that we need to put in place so that we can see whether or not people will be okay or not in their retired years. So, fun story. Love to hear more from you on your own wishes as you might be years away from planning for your retirement. Have you thought about that, of how you want your life to be? Those of you in retirement, have you worked that out within your own retirement plan, the amount of travel you want to do? Also, the topic of robots and, you know, us using technology today to get, you know, where we want to be, and efficiencies and effectiveness with technology. The story of the tractor trailer that went down the Atlantic City boardwalk because the GPS thought it was a road. Not just one time, but this has happened twice now. So I'm sure there's many stories where GPS has brought people where they should not be. Technology basically letting us down. How do we do that? And what's the future of jobs, right? Where we talked taxes and Trump saying jobs, 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 tax cut would create jobs, jobs, jobs. But yet on the flip side, we have some heavyweights like Bill Gates and former founders of Apple and Mark Cuban weighing in on whether or not robots are going to take over most of the jobs in this country and globally, what that means to you. So I thought we were able to navigate that really well, where we tie the work that we do of helping you with your life and your wealth, combining the two so that you live your best life when it comes to your wealth. Yeah, we have to rely on technology, but we also have to make sure we're testing that technology is coming up with the right numbers. It's easy for us to go to someone and say, what do you think you're going to spend in retirement? And somebody gives us a number. But then we have to break it down. Because someone says, well, I want to travel each year. We have to look at what that travel expense is. We have to look at each line item and what that is. We have to test constantly to make sure that the technology is not failing us. So humans are needed, but good humans who can think logically, who can question what the data is showing, is what's important here. And that combination means that you have a winner. My question to you, do you have a winner? Email me, asksteve@cfnplan.com, asksteve@cfnplan.com. Thank you so much for being part of today's program, and I'll be back next week to talk to you about your life and your wealth. Have a great weekend.
Thanks for joining us on the Your Life, Your Wealth Network. All of our shows are reproduced as podcasts and can be listened to on demand at your convenience. If you're interested in learning more about applying the principles we discuss to your personal financial circumstances, please visit Cordasco Financial Network at cfnplan.com or call our office at 215-558-3500. We hope you'll join us again next time on the Your Life, Your Wealth Network.